All righty. Open your Bibles, please. Turn to Ephesians. We are in chapter 4 as we're working our way through this book. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but most of the fellows that have had an opportunity to preach from up front of late and exhort you, equip you, and all that good stuff have been working out of books. I don't know if you've noticed it. Brother Mike's been in 1 Timothy, Brother Josh, Kelly, and James. So, again, I think it's great that we're all taking the opportunity to go through several of these letters, the books of the New Testament, to continue to do exactly what we're going to talk about tonight, the verses that I want to look at in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. My focus tonight will be primarily on verse 12, but let's read the three verses here. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as pastors, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Great God, I thank you again that you have preserved your word, and in it, Father, we get to see the wisdom and the foresight of your plan in Christ Jesus, which you put into play, Father, before the foundation of the earth. Grateful again that you have given us the opportunity and the privilege in Christ to become a part of your people and now to participate in the execution and the finalization of the last stages of your plan. Father, I pray that tonight that my message would be delivered in such a way, first and foremost, to honor your word and to honor you, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to you. And in so doing, I know that it will then deliver its ultimate intention for your people, and that is to equip them, that is to edify them, to encourage them. Father, I thank you again for the many privileges that we receive in Christ. And Lord Jesus, we know every one of them you purchased for us through the offering of yourself. We praise you for your great love and thank you for all that you've done for us, asking that all we can do in return is to serve you with a whole heart and bring honor and glory to you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Alrighty, Ephesians 4. There's been a lot of stuff talked about as far as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all that good stuff. And you guys know I like to work on the issue of equipping. I remind you that the purpose of the assemblies. Now, on the Lord's Day, we gather together for the purpose of breaking bread, right? That's what it says. But while we are assembled, after we break bread, what are we doing? Filling time? Personally, I probably got better things to do. Some of you might be thinking, we're not filling time, brethren. We're being equipped. And that's the way you got to look at this. Okay, you got to look at this with a proper perspective. You're being equipped. And then you're being built up. And it's for a purpose. So what have I said over the years? Know Jesus. Let me see. Verse 13. Till we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, know Jesus. You guys think I just made that up? Okay. Then I say, know who you are in Christ Jesus. That's in there too. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So you're supposed to be Christ-like. And that does mean exactly what it says. To the fullness of the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. That means you can be like Christ. No arguments, right? No black-hearted sinners? Good, we're doing great. All right? And know your purpose. Here it is. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Body in the letter to the Ephesians shows up, I don't know, roughly a dozen times. So God, through His Spirit, moving the Apostle Paul, is talking to us and using the metaphor, the illustration, whatever you want to call it, of a body, primarily here in the letter to the Ephesians, and a building. All right, those are the two things he's trying to work on. So you're going to see these themes show up. Now, we need to go back, just as a reminder, Beginning of chapter 4, it starts out this way. Therefore, all the stuff before that that's there is so from this point on, you kind of have an idea what it's there for. For these purposes, it says, therefore I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, and I hope you would agree with him that you're one too, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. What's he say then? Being diligent. Being diligent, in verse 3, to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So again, this is kind of the context and what he's building up to. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. So let me see. I went back. I told you way back. The letter of Ephesians is about a walk. It's about a work. And it's about warfare. See? It's not about churchianity. It's not about playing Christian. You know, fakey. This is the real deal. You walk like Christ. You work. And we're willing to work like Christ worked. And you engage in warfare just as Christ did. You need to understand it. So, verse 11 tells us basically this. I'm going to make it succinct as possible. View leadership as gifts from God. View leadership, view those that teach you, even on an individual level, as a gift from God. They are. All right? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Now let's talk about what I want to talk about, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. All right. We're going to do a little run-through of where this word is used in the New Testament. Turn, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 4 to start. Okay? And I'll tell you this word in the Greek is katartizo. Okay? Now you can try and say that if you'd like, that's fine. But it's just, it's a Greek word, and the root meaning of this word you're going to get when we read this passage in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. You'll figure out what the root meaning of this word most likely is. For, yes, equipping. I'm sorry if I'm not being clear. I'm talking about the word equipping. See, I'm probably three steps ahead of you in my brain, and of course my tongue is at least that far behind. So, and I know that's a miracle, all of you. Okay. There's a lot of hubbubbing going on here. Okay. Verse 21. All right. Now, Jesus calls his disciples by the Sea of Galilee in verse 18. The two bros, Simon and Peter, right? And Andrew, his brother. And Andrew, his brother. Follow me, make it fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Now, if you caught my emphasis there. And he called them, mending their nets. Did you know that's the same word that you see there that we read in Ephesians 4 that's translated equipping? It's the same word. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. Okay, Luke 6. Now catch this. Verse 40. This is one of Mr. Wilson's more favorite passages, I know. I've heard him say this many times. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 40, a pupil, that's what it says in the updated, or a disciple, is not above his teacher. But everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Mending. Trained. Equipped. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just trying to give you the way that the Scripture uses this word, give you kind of a whole look at the way it's utilized by the Holy Spirit of God. As he moved men, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Kind of used differently here, isn't it? But kind of giving you a little fuller look at what this word is used. Now, this one will work a little bit better along with what we started with Matthew 4. Go to 2 Corinthians 13, excuse me. Nine is where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians 13:9. When I hear the pages stop turning, which is always a beautiful sound to anybody that's up here. I want you to understand that. I love hearing pages turning. When I look up, I see no pages turning and blank looks on your face. I'm a little nervous. Because I can tell you anything and you'd probably swallow it. Okay? For we... Yeah, Michael shared that story with you. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for you, that you be made complete. For this reason I am writing these things while absent, so that when present I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up, not for tearing down. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete. Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. The God of love and peace will be with you. All right. That's good for starters. We'll look at a couple of others here shortly. So, we start out in this word. The first time it shows up in the New Testament, it shows up in the Gospel accounts, and it talks about some brothers called while they were mending nets. In Ephesians 4, it says, equipping the saints. The root word here, katatrizo, what that means at its very foundation is to mend, to adjust, to make fully workable, so to speak. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. When Jesus calls men to be fishers of men, isn't it interesting? They're mending nets. Because they're what? Fishermen. How's God going to fish for men? He's going to mend you, net. See, you're nothing but a net that God comes in. Hey, we're all in trouble, right? If you're honest, you're going to admit it. Well, you might have thought you were hot until you realized you weren't so hot. All of us needed help, right? We all needed some mending, some repairing, some adjusting. Yeah. So what's equipping? Well, let me see. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know, that's in there too in the Scriptures. So, you know, we're all being mended, so to speak. We're all being adjusted. See, the Scripture is God's spiritual chiropractor, if you want to call Him that. He's a little out of line over here. Let's adjust this. Right? Let's make Him fully complete. Let's help with the building and repairing process. So, equipping involves adjusting you so that you're useful. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are created by God for good works. So we come out, we're created, right? For good works. But it seems like when we come out, there's some mending and adjusting that has to take place still, huh? Yeah. Make sense to all of you? Do you have it all figured out when you came out of the water? I'll tell you, I didn't. Okay. I just wanted to kind of touch on it. Now, let's go to Galatians, one book previous, chapter 6. Let's read something where this word is used. Let's see if you can figure out which word it is that might be, knowing the way this word is translated and its root, see if you can figure out which word here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is the English word that's been translated from the Greek word. Okay? Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual... Hey, you guys got it. I heard somebody say it. Restore. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. You're equipping them. You're mending them. You're adjusting them. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now, doesn't that sound like what Jesus did? Now, He got on the guys who were proud, right? Thought they had it all figured out. But what was He like to the individuals that needed help? that needed to be equipped a little bit further to understand who he was, what his intentions were, what his purpose was, what his plan was for him. He was fairly gentle, wasn't he? Seems like that's a Christ-like attitude. Aren't we supposed to grow up? Fullness of stature, the measure belongs to Christ. That wouldn't have anything to do with restoring a person in the spirit of gentleness? Of course it would. Okay. All right, now. One other one. I want to take a look at. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Remember, they're building up the saints for the work of service. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. Our word's going to be in verse 10. And I'm pretty confident you're going to figure out which word it is. You probably are reading ahead and already got it nailed, just waiting for me. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. That we may equip you in your faith. That we may repair, adjust that faith. Right? With a look to making it fully functional. All this makes sense now, right? See, the Greek language is a pretty cool language. I like it. There's a lot to it. Again, what I'm trying to do is encourage you guys to do a little bit more word study. Personal word study. Equipping. Now, let me ask you something. Does it take longer to repair some things than others? It does, doesn't it? So is everybody going to be repaired at the same rate? Because we're all a little different. Are some going to maybe trail a little behind you or I? Or will there be a bunch in front of you and I? Maybe that's the way we should look at it. You know? Maybe they got it a little quicker than we did. Restore such a one. Spirit of gentleness. Right? Now, it doesn't mean we're giving them permission to be lazy. It's not what I'm saying. Right? But what is God growing us into? Does He want you to be a sugar beet? All sweet? My little sugar beet. He's so sweet. Right? Well, how long does it take to grow a sugar beet? 6 months? I don't know. How long? Anybody know? Seriously. 12 months? I just threw it out there because of the flood from the sugar beet factory last week or whatever. I was kind of in the news, so that would be a good example. You know what Isaiah says we're being grown into? Oaks of righteousness. Why do you suppose God you would use that kind of terminology? Strength. But does an oak just pop up overnight necessarily? No. What's God continuing to tell us? Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 2. With all, chapter 4 of Ephesians. With all humility and gentleness with, say it together, patience. Say it together, patience. So, those of you that get this stuff quick and you're way out in front, and you got somebody like me up here who continues to hammer the same thing over and over and over again. Remember, we're growing oaks of righteousness here. Takes a little while, doesn't it? That's why Paul says, you know, it's okay for me to remind you of these things again. It's a safeguard for you, and it is no trouble for me. I just want to remind us of that. Because sometimes people say, you know, we've heard this over and over. When are we going to... Look, we are going to be reviewing stuff a lot because we're growing a lot with new Christians. There's going to be a whole lot of review going on. And all you should have a great attitude because you're being equipped. Guess what? You may still need some adjustments. You may need a little mending. I may need a little mending. All righty. So, So equipping carries the connotation of an adjustment. And again, I'm just using a little bit of what the Greek word contains. So we got to produce the right mindset. That's what we're doing when we equip. We're producing the right mindset. Amen? Okay. So of who we are. So what are we working on? We're working on adjusting your mindset is what we're doing. Now, the world has a fancy term for that. See, when you move from... Now, we know what the Scripture says when we change the way we think. You know, from a worldly perspective to a spiritual perspective, that's called repentance, right? Repent, right? Change your mind. The world has a fancy word that says when you change the way you think into another way of thinking, that's called a paradigm shift. Pretty fancy. Why don't they just say repent? I don't know. But that's what they say. It's a paradigm, organizational way of thinking, ordered way. It's a shift. So that's what happens when you're being equipped. There's a way of thinking, a shift that's taken place. And we're shifting you from earthly, visual, sensual, by that I mean touchy, you know, being able to see, touch, smell, into the spiritual realm where it's totally in faith based upon the proof that God has provided that He is there and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Okay? So there's a paradigm shift. And it's not always easy. That's why you need to be here at the assemblies to be equipped. Now, we want to equip you. When you are absent, we are unable to. Oops. Got quiet. Remember, reprove. That's all I'm doing. I ain't rebuking. And exhort. Brethren, the assemblies are critical to you fulfilling your purpose. Absolutely critical. And many of you recognize that. And for that I'm grateful. Was it a tremendous paradigm shift for the Jews to recognize that the Gentiles were coming in? They accepted that, no problems, right? You need to go back and read the first three chapters of Ephesians, brethren. There's a whole lot of issues with the both the Gentile and the Jew getting this thing coming together. But once the equipping is done correctly, the mindset is adjusted, and they knew who Jesus Christ was, and they started to understand who they were, and a solid teacher of the Scriptures would have went through all those Old Testament scrolls and showed the Jew first, look, the Gentiles were always going to be a part of this. How far back you want to go? Should we go to Genesis and see old Grandpappy Abe? Is that where you want to go, Jew? We'll go back there. We'll show you. They were always going to be a part of this thing. Right? And prove it. They had to prove it to the Jews. And then to the Gentiles, they had to be proven that, yeah, even though the Jews blew it, they're still God's root that you got grafted into. So don't either one of you look at the other down the nose and despising one another. Come together and work together as a body. Now, brethren, we're a disparate group here in this assembly. Same applies to us. Right? So how you view yourself is critical in Christ. Thus, the need to constantly be reminded of who you are. So that if it's rooted deeply within your brain, when you turn and look at your brother or sister, hopefully you will see that that's who they are as well. And guess what? You will be diligent to preserve unity in the bond of peace. This is all part of equipping the saints. Now, just real briefly, I'm going to run out of time here shortly. I want to talk a little bit about service. Just very briefly. We're going to move into service. I talked about, and I skipped some of what I want to talk about equipping. Maybe next time we'll talk some more. But I wanted to introduce that tonight. So equipping the saints. Now again, I've reminded all you men that come up front here. And I am no greater or less in the eyes of God than you. Did you hear that? I am no greater nor any less in the eyes of God than each of you that come up here. When you are up here, You want to know what your purpose is up here? Ephesians 4 is telling you in verse 12. You are equipping the saints for the work of service. And you're supposed to be building up the body of Christ. Now that's going to include positive and negative exhortation. We're not going to eliminate the negative and focus on the positive, although that'd be nice. We have to look at the negative, or we tend to forsake and judge the positive inappropriately. We kind of take advantage of that. Take it lightly. So I just want to remind you guys, when you're up here, equip the saints. It's not a bully pulpit where you go after somebody that's, you know, maybe done something that you want to bring out and let them have it. Not a bully pulpit. Right? Equipping the saints. Doesn't mean we don't talk about things that need to be talked about, but it's not a bully pulpit. Now, service. For the work of service. Alright. Now, when people read this, for the work of service, here's how they spell it. That's how they spell it. How do I know? Because that's the way they treat people in leadership that Luke talked about this morning that are hirelings. Hey, preacher, preacher, tickle my ear. Preacher, preacher, tell me what I want to hear. Preacher, preacher, serve us. Or you better fear. Preacher, preacher, you don't do what we say. You're out of here. Now that's what they see in their mind when it says in Ephesians 4, for the work of service. They go, that's right. Get up there, Luke, and serve us. Get up there, Kevin, and serve us. Get up there, Mike Wojciechowski, and serve us. Get up there, Jared Shaver, and serve us. Get up there, Mike Ferguson, serve us. Boy, is that ever wrong? Now, what do you read when you see that word? Do you read that, or do you see serve ice? Okay, SERVICE. Man, we are blessed with some great men in this congregation. I don't know if you guys know it. Any of us that have ever been away from here know it. We have lots of quality guys. We got new guys. I mean, I can look at a couple over here on this side. Three of them. Clint, William, and Mr. Dobson over there. Dobson? I'm sorry. Dave, Triple D. Mr. Dunbar over there. I apologize, Dave. I would never want to lift you up to the level of Mr. In any case, great guys. You know, all doing work. All are you reaching out to others. What an awesome thing, eh? Got lots of guys. Service, for the work of service. See, America and Western society, brethren, has an infection in its culture, and it's called welfare. And what happens is it has come right on into the church like everything else in culture. And instead of seeing service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, that means I'm supposed to be involved. They see serve us because they're all on welfare and they're being served by somebody else. Brethren, this is real. You think God knew what might come down the road? Oh, no. Caught him by surprise, just like when the Jews rejected Jesus. Wow, he was stunned. Service. Well, the welfare mentality has to get out of the church. And a warfare mentality needs to come in. And that doesn't mean within the body. Some of you are thinking, all right, he gave me permission. You can start ripping and tearing. The welfare's got to go out, and the warfare's got to come in. Now that's the danger, brethren, of getting on those welfare programs that are offered by the government. You don't understand what's going to happen to you mentally. You do not understand. That's why we're so concerned about it here in this assembly. It will change the way you think. And we will be battling that as we're preaching to you. Some will be looking off to the side, paying no attention, because you're on welfare and you don't want to hear what I'm saying right now. He's coming after me personally. I used to like Kevin. I don't like him anymore. I got a saying, I don't think I'll say it. My mom used to say to me. But brethren, I am here to speak truth to you in love. And that's coming up shortly in our text. Speaking the truth in love. So, understand that stuff. All right? You are going to have to individually make your decision about that. I ain't going to come and ask you, all right, let's see, are you taking well? Are you eating? I'm not going to come and ask you any of that. That's between you and God. But I want you to understand how it infects the way that you think. I have seen it firsthand in my own family, brethren. And I cannot get through to some because they are so infected with that welfare mentality. They can't see that there's real warfare going on out there. They cannot see it. And it'll happen to you. Don't fool yourself. So service. I'm just going to go a couple more minutes. It's almost five after. And we'll finish up for tonight. And I'm sure you guys thought, boy, he came at this a little different than we thought he was going to. That's right. Mr. Unpredictable, right? You guys think somewhere along the line I'm going to pull Hebrews 12:22 out tonight, don't you? I might. All right, that's part of the paradigm shift that we are now living in. And that's why I continue to hammer that one home. Where are you? You're seated in heaven. That's where you're seated, all right? So, now, what is this work of service called? It's called the ministry of reconciliation, right? 2 Corinthians 5:18. That's the work of service. Reconciling who? Well, I got to get between Sister Sue and Sister Mary Lou because, man, they're always fighting. That's my ministry of reconciliation. And that's what happens in too many bodies of Christ, brethren. It's all about trying to diffuse all the little fights that are going on in the body. Because nobody's out there really doing the ministry of reconciliation. You want to know why we get along so well here, brethren? You want to know why? Because we've got the ministry of reconciliation correct. We're out there getting others. Instead of looking at Katya and going, that Russian, I can't believe she's in with the, you know, like, this is an American, what she doing, you know. Right? When I first knew about Katya and everything that was going on with her, and I say Katya, my wife, it's Katya. But anyway, especially when Mike and her started communicating, man, I started to pray and I had a faith picture of what would happen with Mike and Katya. And Katya will tell you that the faith picture isn't quite done yet. But some of the stuff we used to talk about and communicate, and we talked on the phone before Mike and her ever got together, and we communicated with email, some of that stuff's come true, hasn't it? That's some cool stuff, man. Well, I can reach across the pond to London and deal with a sister in Christ via email or the phone. I can be diligent, preserve the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace with a sister in London. I'm telling you, brethren, I can serve her. So, all right. Equipping the work, equipping the saints. There's adjustment. There's repairing. There's things that are going on so that we can make each of us fully functional for a purpose. And that's the work of service. And that doesn't mean, by the way, serve us what we need. But we do the service that Christ has asked of us for what those people out there need. Those two things I want you to keep in mind tonight. For the work of service, the equipping of the saints. And I praise you guys as an assembly that you have your focus right. Because many of us have gone away from here and it is lost. Brethren, it is lost. You go everywhere else and it's exactly like I just told you. You go in there and the guy that's the hireling is the one who's doing the serve us attitude for everybody sitting out there. Mike Ferguson, Brother Mike Ferguson, just got to experience it personally when he was down in Arizona. And you can get his story if you don't know it. Now, I love you guys. I love you guys. You're an awesome bunch. You're an awesome bunch. Let's stand.